The following is a presentation of the Town of North Hempstead's Project Independence and WCWP. Welcome to Project Independence and You.
Welcome to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM, WCWP.org. This is Project Independence and You. I'm your host, John Ryan, and my co-host today is Ann Hirsch.
Good morning.
Ann is from the Great Neck Advisory Committee.
Yes.
And I know Ann also from town. And just a little before we get to our first two guests here, Project Independence. Project Independence is the Town of North Hempstead's initiative to help people age in place. And by providing services, transportation to and from shopping, doctor's visits. We have a doctor with us today. I mean, we will transport a senior to her, his or her doctor visit. Help in the house, social work services, you name it. The main thing for Project Independence is 311. You call 311, literally, and ask for anything. The town, if we don't have a partnership, if we don't do it directly, we'll figure out some help for no senior is alone in the town of North Hempstead. It's an amazing program, and it really is. Over 11,000 members that have signed up for services over the last, say, 10 years. Going to our first two guests today, we have Nancy Silva Mullins, who is a pelvic certified physical therapist, and Sonia Balani, who is a urologist.
Yeah.
And associated with Northwell Health Systems, which the name changed, what, like 2 or 3 months ago?
Yeah, not
still,
even.
But they got signage up all over the place.
Yes.
That was a multi-million dollar change. It's like, I thought it was going to be a couple of years, little by little, they changed the names. Ann, you want to say something?
No.
Oh, I see. I'm going to start with Sonia.
Great.
In reference, obviously, urologist. Specialty? I mean, specialty is urology.
So let me just clarify. So I'm actually a gynecologist, but I work in the Department of Urology.
It's getting better.
So I do urogynecology work, but yes.
Oh, okay. Now, that's a specific...
That is.
I never heard. My brother's a gynecologist.
Yeah. So it's a specific subspecialty, and it's basically I work with a lot of patients who have pelvic pain, who have leakage, who, go to the bathroom pretty frequently, who tend to wake up a lot at night to pee, because a lot of times people just don't even think this is an issue.
Okay.
So that's why it's really important that, you know, we see these patients, we're able to evaluate them, and then I work closely with Nancy in terms of therapy for all of them.
Okay. So... it's not necessarily medication. If a situation like this exists in a woman, it's not necessarily they have to take a pill.
Not necessarily, no. And a lot of women don't want to take pills. They say, I don't want this side effect or I don't want that side effect. And I'm sorry, I said women, but it's women and men, honestly.
Oh, okay, okay.
And so, you know, it's important to remember that it's the whole general population.
Going off of that, I just want to say also that... Dr. Balani and I work very closely in conjunction with one another. So if a patient doesn't want to use medication, a lot of these complaints that patients, or I should say people have, it's due to poor habits, okay? For instance, that frequency of urination, a lot of times I talk to my patients about jicking or just in case peeing. How many of us have mothers that said, we're going to go to the store, go to the bathroom first, empty your bladder, I don't want to pull over the car. So now as adults, we do this to our own children and we get into this habit of constantly going to the bathroom when we don't really have the urge or have to go to the bathroom. So it's really about changing, you know, bad habits and making people more aware of what's going on.
And the converse to that is that a lot of people tend to hold their urine. We have like a lot of teachers or a lot of people that whatever jobs they have that say, I just can't go to the bathroom. I can't go all day, so I hold in my urine. And then they come to me with, but now I feel like I'm not completely emptying. So, you know, like Nancy said, a lot of it is behavioral. It's important to address that aspect of it.
And what are the ramifications of this in general as far as going too frequently or not going frequently enough?
So every patient is different, so it can be all different. But in terms of patients that I'll just go over the patients that tend to hold their urine, a lot of times what happens is that they can develop some pelvic pain, okay? So they say, you know, now that I'm tightening those muscles all the time, I'm not completely emptying, I'm going more frequently because I'm not completely emptying my bladder, and now I have this lower abdominal pain and I'm not sure what's going on.
Okay. I'm going to step back a bit. No. How did you two wind up working together? I mean, because... you know, obviously, if it's a referral system back and forth, which is tremendous, but how did you come up, Sonia, with the fact that, you know, physical therapy and vice versa, from a physical therapist saying, you know, you don't have to always medicate a person?
you know, Nancy and I met through the system because she does work for Northwell as well.
Oh, okay.
But however, you know, I noticed in my patient population that a lot of people will say to me, I don't want to be on medication, or I don't necessarily want to have surgery, or I don't want to do a lot of these medical interventions because they have side effects to them, you know? But then in addition, this is a quality of life issue. So I started sending some patients to Nancy and I noticed this great difference. So I said to myself, you know, it's really important to incorporate physical therapy. And I think Nancy just does an excellent job with these patients, you know, all around in terms of mitigating their symptoms without needing medical therapy.
Now, if I may ask Nancy, when I think of physical therapy, I think of a different kind of field.
Of course.
So perhaps you can help me understand, are you in a specialty? Give me a little bit of your scope of activities.
Of course. Most people who come to see me say, I have no idea why my doctor sent me here. It's not my knee. It's not my shoulder. How are you going to fix down there? I've actually taken some extensive courses and training. By no means am I a doctor, but I am very familiar with the pelvic floor muscles. Okay, so this incorporates those of the vagina and the rectum that are responsible for, you know, bowel, bladder, and sexual function. And what I'm looking at is to see, is there tension within those muscles that's causing the issues that Dr. Balani was talking about, pain or retention? Are they too weak and that's why we're leaking, you know, when we're not supposed to be leaking? And what I do is a combination of a lot of manual hands-on internal work. We use a lot of devices also. I don't know if you've ever heard of the word biofeedback. This is actually a tool that can be used for many medical conditions, but we use it to either train the muscles to strengthen or to actually lengthen those muscles, depending on what needs to be done.
So is this 100% of your practice, or are you doing this in addition to other things?
I myself am completely a pelvic floor physical therapist. However, I work with a bunch of orthopedic therapists. So
I think that's an excellent point, though, because that's part of the thing that I try to explain to my patients as well. You want a pelvic floor specialist, because oftentimes, if you don't have that, many physical therapists who are not as well-versed as Nancy tend to, you know, sometimes can give you a different exercise that might sometimes potentially make you worse.
Right.
So okay. That's the important part.
So let me just see if I have this straight. If I am having pain in this area, do I go directly to her or must I go to you and be referred to her? How do we get the ball rolling on this?
It doesn't matter. Honestly, you can do either way, because if Nancy finds that, you know, physical therapy, we actually need to add some adjunctive therapy, she'll refer right over to me. I like to evaluate patients even if I just do physical therapy, because oftentimes you want to make sure there's nothing else going on. You know what I mean? And
sure.
So you don't want to miss anything. And so that's why it's important to kind of like, you know, you don't want to just have blinders on. You want to look at the whole situation.
I mean, does most medical insurance make it mandatory that the doctor be the one prescribing this?
Through New York State law, in order to get physical therapy for any body part, you do need a prescription from your doctor. That is important, yes. And this, although this is a specialty, it's still considered regular physical therapy. A lot of times patients say, well, I don't know if my insurance company will cover this, but again, it's just like going for physical therapy for any other limb.
Since it is a senior talk show, I feel comfortable in saying Medicare has certain provisions. So
yes.
This falls within the provisions of Medicare?
It certainly
yes.
does.
Okay. From a physical therapy, perspective, like if you hurt your arm, you go there for 45 minutes, mm-hmm. etc. This therapy would probably be more at home. I mean, the person is going to actually spend an hour visit with you.
The original evaluation that's done with me is an hour one-on-one, and then subsequent visits, again, depending on how the person is presenting, how much time they actually have. We see a lot of new moms who now all of a sudden are incontinent, and they don't have the time to come in 2 to 3 times a week. So we put those type of patients on, you know, particular home programs, or let's say any seniors that have transportation issues. Again, we try to make more of a home program so that they're only coming in one time a week. clinic. But we really try to tailor the treatment to what the patient's goals are and what they're able to do. But it is a 30-minute one-on-one session. Again, it's very private and personal.
And I also always ask Nancy, and I think this is really important, to give them the tools to be able to do it on their own. Because, like, if they do have issues coming, or even in general, you know, everybody wants to live their own independent lives. So she kind of gives them these tools that they can incorporate into their daily lives, exercises that they can do at whatever time of day that can help with those muscles.
Also, going back to Dr. Balani, you do the full scale of gynecological work, the Walsall.
So I don't do like.
I just don't want people to think this is such a, you know,
You're
only going to call you two guys.
No, I do the whole general scale, you know. So, I mean, there's many different parts of a workup that need to be done in lots of patients. So, you know, we do a whole complete history and physical. All my first patient appointments are a full hour. I take that time just for the patient to figure out what's going on. And then we can do whatever we need to in the office if that means a cystoscopy or further testing. That's all done within our realm.
Okay.
Something just comes to mind. As the population becomes more and more aware of the importance of athletics and being more active, I personally see more and more seniors out there in full force. Everybody's swimming. One of the things you have in swimming is you can't wait to get out of the pool to get into that bathroom. Is that of any concern, anything we should be doing, be aware of, since it is an urgency when you're through swimming to get straight to that bathroom as quick as possible?
Sure. So there's plenty of things that we can teach our patients about. One thing that I like to do for patients who complain of urges is to put them on an urge suppression technique program. So basically what we tell our patients is if you feel that strong desire to have to go to the bathroom, first of all, you want to try to sit down on something relatively hard, a wooden chair, the edge of a table. It's like the little, you know, three-year-olds that put their hands between their crotch and say, "Mommy, Mommy, I have to go pee." They know what they're doing. They're applying pressure to that perineum to calm things down. What you can also do is perform a Kegel. I'm sure people have heard that term a lot. What that is a contraction, a pulling up and in of the pelvic floor muscles. And again, this tends to settle things down. I tell my patients at that point, take a couple of deep breaths because you're only thinking about, oh my gosh, get me to that toilet before I pee my pants. And then try to distract yourself by doing one other thing. Say, let me grab my towel, you know, if you're in the pool first, and then I'm going to slowly walk to the bathroom. Because a lot of times it's, you know, this bladder controlling your lifestyle, and you need to have your brain say, listen, this is what I'm going to do instead.
The converse to that is that urgency is not the only thing that can happen when they go in the pool. So sometimes they can go in the pool, there's a little bit of chlorine, it can actually irritate the perineum. So then they come out and they say, oh, I just don't feel right. Something doesn't feel right. They put water, they put ice. And so that's something that that I see in my practice a lot of too, that a lot of patients don't even think about. They think, oh, well, this is just what it is. I can't do anything about it. But no, there's a lot we can do about that.
I think, yeah, the most important thing is people don't have to accept anything today.
Right. That's the most important thing.
You know,
thing,
don't be embarrassed. Make a call.
Right.
Make a visit to the doctor to see if there is some alternative that you can take. Okay. Personally, I probably would have just peed in the pool, but that's that's another story.
Make sure I'm not there when you're around. Boy.
Actually, we're going to take our first break. You're listening to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM, WCWP.org. We'll be right back.